Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Paul Clay, welcoming Paul to fill in for Jess today. Paul, thanks for joining us today.
Terry, honored to be here again. I can't tell you what a privilege it is. Thank you for having me on.
I can't wait to talk about the topics. My favorite topic, one of my favorite, I should, top 10 topics. Why does Jesus' divinity matter? If Jesus isn't God, game over. But let's talk about that a little later. And also, we're going to bring up interesting note. San Francisco is one of the large cities in America, and it's leading the league in people leaving the city. And we're going to be talking to a real estate broker who's a real estate for life to talk about where are people moving to and how our listeners can utilize his services. And it also benefits Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We're also going to talk about the federal judge blocking David Dalyden's team from releasing more of these videos exposing Planned Parenthood selling baby parts. That's unfortunate, but it's a fact. Here's my good news. Idaho Senate passes heartbeat bill with vast majority, send it to the House. This is happening all through America. People are standing up for the unborn like they never have before. And I think it's because of the Biden administration saying that they're going to codify Roe versus Wade. And boy, we definitely don't want that. As a matter of fact, Paul, Roe versus Wade, the movie that we promoted last week, it's being shown at our chapel Sunday night. That's this Sunday at 6 p.m. here at the Sacred Heart Chapel. And I think it's a $10 donation that's going to help support the pro-life work. So if you want to join us, we're glad to have you come 6 p.m. in the evening this Sunday.
Sounds like it'll be a good time, Perry.
Yeah, and it's nice because it's Mercy Sunday. I love it.
Yes.
And we need to stand up for the unborn. But before we get to all of these other topics, I'm also going to mention some other events that are going on, too. The Catholic Men's Conference, mark your calendar, June 12th. We've got the Evangelization Conference coming up May 15th. It's all free conferences online, except for the Men's Conference. That'll be in person. But let's get some soul food in. And I was talking to Paul, rather than going with the gospel of the meetings from today, I'm going to read the gospel, the theme of the gospel, or I should say the Acts of the Apostles. This is something that I would encourage all of our listeners. I started rereading the Acts of the Apostles right after Easter. And the reason I wanted to read that is because it talks about the early church and what they were dealing with. And, you know, it's inspiring. So let me just read from Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. And then I'd love to get Paul's comment because the theme is, there is no salvation through anyone else but Jesus Christ. That's a theme I buy into. All right.
Amen.
Here comes. After the crippled man had been cured, while Peter and John were still speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees confronted them, disturbed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Oh, boy. They laid hands on Peter and John and put them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word came to believe, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Remember, 5,000 men, you might as well quadruple that, at least three times that, 15,000 to 20.
Yes.
Because you got families. Okay, on the next day, their leaders, elders, and scribes were assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all who were on the high priestly class. They brought them into their presence and questioned them. Think about this, if they were going to question you about Jesus. This is what I always think about when I read the Acts. What about if I was there? By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, answered them, leaders of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by which means he was saved, then all of you and all of the people of Israel should know that it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. In his name, this man stands before you healed. He is the stone rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is no salvation through anyone else. I'll repeat that. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hey, does that fire you up, Paul?
Oh, Terry. All cylinders are popping right
you
now.
You got it.
We have a great God and a great salvation he has wrought for us.
Yeah, he certainly has. And you know, this whole question about salvation, even people who are saved through no fault of their own, saved through Jesus Christ, they don't realize it on planet Earth, but they will when they get to heaven. And so this reading, I love because we use the psalm, the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. They had that in the reading of Acts, and I thought that was so appropriate. And the other thing that I love the antiphon for today's Mass, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
O chosen people, proclaim the mighty works of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. If that's not an evangelization call, I don't know what is, man. Don't be quiet about your Christianity. The world needs Christ more than ever. All right.
Yes.
Let's bring in the smartest guy into the room, which is Fulton J. Sheen with that train. Can I get that, Mr. Engineer? Woohoo. We're checking on it. All right. Well, I guess the train's running slow on Friday. There you go, Paul. Hey, there it comes. Full Sheen ahead. And Bishop Sheen's talking about judgment, Paul. And I think that our ultimate end, the four last things, we constantly have to be thinking outside of the box in the sense of our lifetime. Paul, you're way over halfway in your lifetime. So am I. I'm rounding third base. And I want to every day think about, my judgment. How about you?
Yeah,
you think often of that? Yeah. All right, here's what Bishop Sheen has to say about judgment. Now, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. But if you're at home listening, just imagine two souls appearing before the sight of God. Okay, I can do that. One in the state of grace and the other in the state of mortal sin. Just as a father recognizes his own son because of likeness of nature, so too Jesus Christ recognizes the soul in the state of grace and the virtue of resemblance to him. Oh, yeah. And says to the soul, this is what I want to be told to me, Paul. How about you? Come ye blessed, O my Father, I am the natural son, you are my adopted son. Come into the kingdom prepared for you from all eternity. Sign me up.
Yes.
Now God looks into the other soul that is in the state of mortal sin and has not that likeness. And just as the Father knows his neighbor's son is not his own, so too God looked at that sinful soul, failing to see therein the likeness of his own flesh and blood, does not recognize it as his own kind, and says to it, as he said in the parable of the bridegroom, I know you not. And this is the line that Bishop Sheen just really think about. He says, I know you not. And here's what Sheen says, and it's a terrible thing not to be known by God.
Yeah, let me tell you something, Terry. Those are some sobering thoughts, but you can only imagine that those that love the Lord here, I think about my dad. My mom recently passed away, and every time I talk to him, Terry, he says, I can't wait to get to heaven. His focus is on heaven.
Awesome.
He wants to reunite with my mother in heaven, and he just wants to go to heaven. And that's what the children of God, we long for. We long to be with the Father.
Right.
And there's that natural, when we see him, we can't wait, you know? Whereas a person who doesn't know the Lord, you can imagine, they have to be afraid. I would imagine there's a great bit of fear at that point.
Yep. I agree with you there, Paul. I want to also remind everybody, when we come back from this break, I have Real Estate for Life coming on to talk about pro-life real estate and also what is going on in our country, because many people are thinking of moving, especially if you're in California. And I will say this, San Francisco, one of the big cities, leads the league in people leaving their state and their city. And why is that? We'll get into that and how it can benefit you. Also, I want to remind everybody, Roe versus Wade is going to be the movie being played on Mercy Sunday here at the Sacred Heart Chapel at 6 p.m. Also, talking about the resurrected, you know, this octave of Easter, this Friday that we're talking about right now. Normally, a Friday would be a day of penance. But because it's in the octave of Easter, go get your meat. Go have a celebration. I know I'm going to have a nice meal with my wife. But remember, let's get back next week, next Friday, to some penance, because the church right now is suffering. And these little sacrifices that we can make, God takes them. There's a tremendous value in our self-denial, because part of being a Christian is being disciplined to be able to say no to yourself. And I also want to remind all of our listeners that we see more pro-life good news coming. The Idaho State Senate passes the heartbeat bill. More states are doing that. Again, we have to stand up for life. This is the issue. You know, you want to talk about immigration. Okay, that's an issue. But when you talk about thousands of babies being slaughtered every day, we need to talk about that. That's what Bishop Strickland does every Tuesday on the Virgin Most Powerful Network, because it's the Bishop Strickland Hour. So when we come back, hope to be able to get our good friend Dave from Real Estate for Life to talk about what's going on in the market around the country and how he can help you as a Catholic get into a nice home, into a nice area like Bishop Strickland's diocese or other places where the faith is being passed. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. I'd like to say I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, I'd be that billionaire. And Paul Clay is sitting in for Jesse Romero. And I understand we now have Dave from Real Estate for Life on the line to talk about some real estate issues. Dave, are you with us?
I am here, Terry.
Thanks be to God. Dave, before we get into what you've been doing, we have commercials all the time, and they're a great supporter for Virgin Most Powerful Radio, but I just noticed online that San Francisco in California, our state of California, a lot of people are leaving the state, and the number one city of big cities in America who's got the highest amount of people leaving the city is San Francisco, and they say that most of them are moving to Texas, probably Tyler, 32%. 46% are going to Florida. And just to give our listeners a little jolt, if they're renting, the rents went down 27%. And if you wanted to rent an apartment in San Francisco, a one-bedroom apartment, let me restate you because this is amazing, $2,000 for a one-bedroom apartment in San Francisco, and $2,300-plus for a two-bedroom. That's pretty steep. Dave, tell me, what's going on in the real estate market worldwide, and what can you do to help our listeners?
Well, I'm going to focus a little bit just on North America, because okay, worldwide is completely different.
That's true.
Yeah, so we continue to have the same dynamics before, which is the West Coast and the Northeast and Illinois are headed to the center of the country, and also Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much you could just sort of wander from Idaho through Wyoming, Montana, on down the Oklahomas, the Tennessees, and Missouris, and so on,
yes,
into Texas, and then Florida is absolutely a strong destination, especially for the Northeastern folks.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me, what does Real Estate for Life offer our listeners? I know they hear commercials, but tell us exactly what you're doing. What's the focus of your ministry?
We have two primary functions. One is to connect faith-based customers and supporters of, for example, Virgin Most Powerful, mm-hmm, with faith-based experienced agents. And we have 1,200 agents,
wow,
in the system. Most of which called us first to get in.
Mm-hmm. And what do they do? They're Catholic. They're devout. They have to be what, 5 years?
Most of them
experience?
Are. They're certainly all pro-life.
Yeah.
And we have a number of evangelicals and other Protestants. And of course, the customers, and we consider those just great opportunities for bringing even those folks into the fullness of the faith.
Got it. Amen.
Got it. Well, that's great work that you're doing. And so if somebody's thinking of moving from California, like a lot of people are, and moving to Tyler, Texas, or maybe Idaho, or Texas, other parts of Texas, how do they contact you for that?
Yeah, the best way is the website, realestateforlife.org, O-R-G. Mm-hmm. So real estate, and that's spelled out F-O-R. realestateforlife.org is the best way to get hold of us. I was going to mention, in the last year, we're sending over a person a month. And now we're just a small compared to the scope of the entire real estate industry, sure. But we've sent over a dozen people to Tyler, Texas in the last year. and I just found out that Lufkin, Texas,
yeah,
which is south of Tyler, is also in the diocese.
So, right, and they're having that.
We're going to start to see people going to Lufkin.
Yeah, you know why?
Know that.
Isn't that where they're having that big center being built, or Catholic center?
Tyler. Well, it's not actually in Tyler.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes out.
Proposed. It's a pro forma right now. It's proposed. Right. But I think it's going to happen. There's just too many Catholics moving there.
Yeah. And Dave, just to make it clear, when people do this, a large amount of money every year is funded back to Virgin Most Powerful. As a matter of fact, I'll say it right on the air. You're our number one fundraiser for advertisers on Virgin Most Powerful. So we really appreciate you doing what you're doing, not only getting people into homes, but it also pays the bills for our ministry here at Virgin Most Powerful. So I appreciate you doing that. Is there anything else you want to bring up, Dave?
The beauty of that is it has no impact on the transaction because the agents are getting business they did not have.
That's
right. What creates a normal referral.
And everybody's used to referral fees. So I appreciate it. Anything else, Dave, before we let you go, you want to share?
Just a teaser. Well, we have been working for some time now, placing folks with like-minded professional services, coast-to-coast movers, mortgages, and so on. And we're going to be launching that website in the next couple of weeks, and I'll let you know about that.
That'd be great. That's fantastic. realestateforlife.com? Is that the website?
Org.
realestateforlife.org. Check it out. And I appreciate everybody who makes a move to think about using them for two reasons. Yes, it supports us, but it also, why support some agent who might be supporting Planned Parenthood out of your commission check? You don't want to do that. You'd rather have somebody who's a on-fire Christian who's going to support apostolic work for the mission, wouldn't you? I would. So Paul, what are your thoughts on this project?
Oh, Terry, it's such a great ministry. And I want to just commend him for just being available to be used by God in such a way, because it's an easy way for people to support righteous causes.
Yep.
And right now, I think one of the main fights today in this country, as you know, is a fight for the unborn. That's where the battlefield is at. That's where the lines are drawn.
Yep. All right. Well, Dave, I want to thank you again. realestateforlife.org. Please check it out. When you hear those commercials, people, please support him. He's been supporting us here almost from the very beginning of Virgin Most Powerful. Dave, thanks again for joining us. Hope to hear
from
you soon.
Blessings for your work. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye now. Talking about pro-life, Paul, that breaking news that I mentioned at the beginning of the top of the show, the federal judge blocks DeLayden's team from releasing more National Abortion Federation videos. And why are they wanting to stop this? These videos back in 2015 exposed Planned Parenthood. Many of you listeners remember sitting at a lunch and there's a little camera on her and she's just, you know, making no big deal about, oh yeah, we sell hearts, we sell livers, whatever you want, we'll price them right for you. We want your business. And what's on this footage from the abortion industry trade show? They're so desperate to cover up. Well, maybe it has to do something with baby parts, companies sponsoring trade shows, maybe with our experts who say that these show infanticide. Yes, the truth has to be revealed, and I believe, I support David in his work. He's someone who lived right, you know, near where I grew up, 20 minutes away. So I've met him, and he's a good man. And Paul, my question to you as a policeman, I realize that sometimes you do arrests, and then you find out that something happened that wasn't properly done on the arrest, and the person gets away. Is that a fair statement? Does that happen sometimes?
Happens a lot.
Okay. So in this case, they're saying that, hey, we're not denying that we're selling baby parts, but the way you found this information out, we want to say that this was illegal. So it might have been like a phone call where you were taping something and they said, and see, the bottom line, you have a background in police work for 30 some years, but as a layman, I think of the truth. What is the truth here? The truth is, well, Planned Parenthood is killing unborn babies.
Yeah, that's the ugly truth, Terry.
Ugly truth. Well said.
Yeah, that's the ugly truth. Listen, I don't know what the nuances of this case are, but as you know, every state has different laws when it comes to being able to record conversations and phone calls. So, it's important to know what the laws of that state are so we're not violating.
Absolutely.
But Terry, I'm in agreement with you. Listen, what's at stake here are real lives, children. And it's such egregious sin. Egregious. It is egregious, Terry. It is, it's like so highly offensive to God that unless we repent from this sin, God is going to bring judgment on this country like this country hasn't even imagined. And the people don't even know it. They don't even realize it.
Paul, on a side note, as a police officer, I'm sure you've seen justice not being served when somebody is at wrong, and it might even be as serious as a murder, okay, where the case just didn't have the proper procedures being done, and people get away. But we know that nobody gets away from judgment from God. There's no hiding the truth from Jesus Christ. And there's no process. He knows everything. And so when we talk about the unborn and protecting them, it seems to me we have to do everything possible to protect these babies. And maybe David is just being like a martyr right now to stand up for this, because so many people were exposed to what Planned Parenthood was doing with these videos that it's changed the hearts. And maybe that's the price he's paying, because he's probably going to spend time in jail over this.
Yeah, there's been an awakening, Terry. You know, since Roe v. Wade first became law, they didn't have a lot of knowledge about
technology,
about what the infant in the womb and
ultrasound.
Yeah, but now there's no excuse. Technology is just incredible. My daughter, by the way, I have a daughter who's pregnant right now.
Congratulations.
And, you know, thank you. She shows me every other week, she's showing me some type of video or ultrasound. And it's just amazing, the detail of the little baby. You know, I love it, Terry. And I think that people are waking up, and we need to continue to wake up, because all life begins with God, and God will bring judgment if we continue to do such an evil thing.
Well said. I want to mention, when we get into our next segment or two, we're going to be talking about why does Jesus' divinity matter? So this is important for all Christians to understand the divinity of Jesus Christ. Also, I want to remind you, after our show, Mary Danielle, we have the Bible with the Barber. She's my wife, for those who don't know it. I sit in with her, and we do a Bible study. And the topic is going to be, how do we know that Jesus Christ was really resurrected from the dead? And she's going to address those issues on her show, and I'm hoping that we actually will get her on for a minute, right or two before the show, to tease you, because the way you can listen to that show is by getting our app. And for those of you who are on YouTube, please ring the bell, click on the bell and say that you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Over 30,000 people are there now, and you can watch this show right after ours or listen to it on our free app. Again, when we come back, Paul Clay sitting in for Jess Romero, Terry Barber here. One of the most important topics as a Christian. Why does Jesus' divinity matter? And why do we believe that? I want some biblical answers. I want a biblical worldview on this one. And Paul Clay's going to give it to us. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Paul Clay sitting in for Jesse. We'll be back on Monday. And I asked Paul to join me because you got to understand a little bit about Paul Clay's background. He was a Bible-thumping Christian, okay? And I mean, he was proclaiming the gospel and memorizing this scripture verse and that. And he came back to his Catholic faith through the grace of God. But I asked him that world biblical view because I got this article from Father Harrison, and it's Why Does Jesus' Divinity Matter? And why I say this, Paul, is often many people who do not believe in the divinity of Jesus argue that there's not one place in Scripture where Jesus explicitly states that he is God. Can I share something with you? Even some Catholic priests don't believe that. I've met them, and sad to have to say, I don't usually like to criticize a priest, but they lost their faith. But that, however, imposes contemporary linguistic standards on an ancient culture that appreciated subtly the language. So there are, in fact, numerous places, Paul, and you know that Jesus Christ claimed to be God. You know, before Abraham came to be, I am. And I wanted you to share with our listeners some of these scripture verses that would support the Catholic view that Jesus Christ is the God-man.
You know, it's funny, Terry, because what we define as non-Christian cults, they all deny. The one thing they have in common is they all deny the nature of God. They're divided on other issues, but on the nature of God in unison, they deny it. And this isn't anything new.
No.
As Solomon said, Terry, there's nothing new under the sun. And the church from its inception, you know, has been challenged by, I think the most popular view that was out there in the ancient church was Arianism.
Yes.
And Arian, he was a priest around the year, in the late 250 to like, say, 336.
Mm-hmm.
And he began this idea of attacking the person of Christ. And
right.
These views are prevalent today. Nothing has changed.
Nope.
But yeah, the Bible, this is what defines us as a Christian. And there's so many different Protestant groups today, Terry, that even deny the nature of Christ, the nature of God. And it's amazing to me that when you tell me that Catholic priests, priests out there who also, I'm like, well, what are you doing being a priest?
Exactly.
You have no business being a priest when you deny the historical Christian teachings of the church.
So Paul, if I asked you as a non-believer, Paul, tell me why you believe that Jesus Christ is the God-man. What would you respond with scripture and logic?
Okay. Well, number one.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, let's just look at a couple of verses here.
Yeah.
In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 8, Philip, he says to the Lord, "Show us the Father, and it's enough, Lord." Mm-hmm. And the Lord just asks him, he says, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father."
Yeah.
Terry,
wow.
Think about Jesus saying that. He tells Philip that, listen, everything that God the Father can mean to you, you look at me, mm-hmm. because I am, he is the essence of the Father. He is God incarnate, God made flesh. How do you explain that away, that Jesus never claimed to be deity?
Yeah.
Terry, here's another one that's overlooked. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Yeah. Terry, I thought God was the one who you know, invoked commandments that we were obligated to obey. Yet Jesus tells them, you will keep my commandments. I guess God is, Jesus is consubstantial with the Father. Isn't that what we profess?
That's right, in the Apostles' Creed.
Or the word homoousis. He is of the same substance as the Father. So the Father's commandments, Terry, are Jesus's commandments. They're one and the same. A lot of people overlook this stuff. You know, all Scripture is God-breathed, right?
Yes.
That is to say, it was given by the Holy Spirit, perfect, and Jesus promised us in John chapter 16 that he would send us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to guide the apostles, that's the bishops in the church, right? Mm-hmm. In all truth. This is where we get the idea that the magisterium or the teaching authority of the church is the final arbiter, right, and not my individual opinion. And so the church has always taught from the very beginning and defended the fact that Jesus was God, the dual nature of Christ, that he has he's the nature of man and God.
Paul, let me ask you this. What about this scripture verse that Jesus claimed to be God, saying, before Abraham, I came to be, I am? That's pretty convincing, in my take.
Oh, yeah. Listen, so Jesus is, he tells them, you know, your father Abraham longed to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you're not even 50 years old yet, and yet you tell us you've seen our father Abraham. And Jesus said, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And Terry, the same word that he used is the very same word in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures. God said, when God sent Moses to go free the people of Israel, he says, I don't even know your name yet. And God says, I am who I am. You will tell the people that I am has sent you. Yeah. And how do you know Jesus was meaning it that way? Well, if you just keep on reading, it says, and the Jews picked up rocks to stone him.
Yeah. Isn't that enough right there, Paul, to think what the Jews understood what he was saying, right? Very clear. There was no ambiguity.
You know, they didn't just kill you for no reason, Terry. They killed him because, in their opinion, he just blasphemed.
Yeah, exactly.
They reverenced the name of God so much that they wouldn't even speak it. And Jesus clearly says, before Abraham was, I am. And there's so many places where Jesus over and over again, basically claims to be God. And if he's not God, Terry, he can't save a single one of us.
My phone is going off the hook, saying, please give those biblical verses again. We have them on our show page. But Paul, one person made a nice comment. Remember when Jesus professed he was the Son of God to Caiaphas? He literally accepted his death sentence because of that claim. There's another part, you know? We have lots of good listeners who are just sharing that. This is so important. Paul, let me ask you this, because you are a man of history. You've studied church history, and I tell you, we've been here before. The sects like Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, even some of the non-denominational Christians, you talked about this off the air with me. Can you share that there are people who profess to be Christians who don't believe that Jesus Christ was the God-man?
Well, again, Terry, Mormonism doesn't believe that.
No.
Mormonisms believe that God has a physical flesh and bones, eternal perfect body. Yeah. Men have the potential to become gods as well. Jesus is God's literal son. a separate being from the Father. That's what Mormonism teaches. Mm-hmm. Jehovah's Witnesses, by, you know, founded by Charles Taze Russell in the 1800s, they believe God is one person, Jehovah. Jesus was Jehovah's first creation. Jesus is not God, nor part of the Godhead. That's amazing. Yet they claim to be Christian. Christian Science, another one, Mary Baker Eddy, they have their own views. They're wrong. Armstrongism, that's Herbert W. Armstrong. Remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of them, actually at one point, they were attempting to change their position on that when confronted. I think it was after he died.
Yeah.
Some of the members of his church were confronted. But again, traditionally, they deny the Trinity, defining God as a family of individuals. And they also say that that Jesus did not have a physical resurrection, and the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. But crazy. Another one, Oneness Pentecostals. They call them Oneness Pentecostals. They believe there is one God and God is one. Throughout time, God manifested himself in three ways or forms: as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So essentially, God just manifests himself in different forms, almost like modalism.
Yeah.
Terry, they go on and on. It goes all the way to everything from to Scientology, Dianetics, and that whole religion was founded by a scientific science fiction writer,
right?
L. Ron Hubbard, right?
Yes.
There's so many groups out there that just deny these things. But what did Jesus say, Terry? Especially when he says, truly, truly, or amen, amen, when he leads off with that, you know it to be true, right?
And amen.
We talked about John chapter 8, verse 56. And that is what the essence of, understanding the gospel is, understanding that God came down and he tabernacled among us. He pitched his tent, Terry. I'm kind of reminded of that passage in the Old Testament where Moses says, "It's good for you to be amongst the people, Lord." Well, he did come amongst the people in the person of Christ, and he pitched his tent and tabernacled among us.
Wow. Hey, we're talking about the perennial teachings of the church about Jesus Christ as the God-man. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Paul Clay sitting in for Jess Romero. I want to remind people, many times we have a lot of our Scott Hahn material that Paul has listened to and others. We put it on our CatholicRC.org for downloads. So the one he did on the resurrection or on the Acts of the Apostles with Steve Ray and others, you can get them for very little money by going to CatholicRC.org, and you can download these for a small fee. Also, I just see that Mary Danielle just pulled in to Studio A, so we're going to bring her on at the end of the show to talk a little bit about her show, The Bible with the Barbers, talking about, is it a myth about Jesus resurrecting, what she can say and what Scriptures have to say about that. It'll be a good show. Paul, talking about the divinity of Jesus Christ, we have to be very precise with our language. I mentioned this to you yesterday. I said, in the church today, sometimes we've been very sloppy with our language. Like we say, Jesus is in the bread and the wine. No, we have songs that people are singing in Catholic churches saying that. That's not what we believe. And this is how people's catechetical teachings are messed up by not being precise. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ's union, also with even the suffering and death, this does not mean that God's being is subject to suffering. Rather, it means that the person, listen to this, the person of the Son, whose humanity perfectly is united to his divine person, dies on the cross, and where the Son is, God is there. Thus, yep. When Jesus died, God enters into the realm of the dead, bringing to those life that those who are dead and separated from God. When Jesus suffers, God is in the midst of the suffering. He's not suffering in his being, but now present in his humanity of Jesus in all human suffering. I bring that up to you, Paul, because this is how we are united with Jesus Christ in suffering. As human beings, we suffer. You know, Bishop Sheen said, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. So I just want to ask you, Paul, your thoughts about how precise we have to be when we talk about Christ's divinity.
Well, you know, and we're talking right now about the importance of his divinity, mm-hmm. Terry, and you know, we can't overemphasize that enough. When we talk about precise language, thank God that most of us, most of us aren't theologians, I'll say that. So thank God that he doesn't hold us to that standard, because we make mistakes,
sure.
You know, when we think about things, but it's important. That's why it's important. We in the Catholic Church, we have the magisterium of the church to go by. We have the doctors of the church that have written volumes on this subject.
That's right.
And so, you know, if we need to find something out, we just need to go back and look at what Mother Church has given to us. Yeah. And that's something, by the way, Terry, that our non-Catholic brothers and sisters in the Protestant Church, they don't have that that luxury, so to speak, because on, you know, out of one side of the mouth, they want to deny the authority of the church. And on the other side, they want to agree with so much of what the church has authoritatively brought to us. So, but let's just talk about heresy for a second.
Sure.
Heresy is a belief that deviates from some standard of official belief.
Right.
When religious authorities decide that a belief is heretical, they usually take active efforts to eradicate the belief, and that comes in the form usually of excommunication.
Right.
Of course, one man's orthodoxy, they say, is another man's heresy, right? And that's what they say in Protestant circles. But most Christian heresies center around denying the Trinity, denying the nature of Christ.
Well,
that is... So when you're talking about the importance, it all seems to revolve around just attacking the nature of God. Yeah. And the official stand that we hold as Catholics, and also, you know, Protestant churches that happen to be in agreement with us, is that God is a Trinity, three persons, but one essence.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ was one person, simultaneously human and divine. These two statements are, you know, they don't seem rational when we think about it. How can he be two persons, human and divine, but the reality is we have to understand the Trinity is essentially a mystery. God is a mystery. Right. And the only way that we can fully understand him, we basically can understand what he has told us about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to tell people, listen, we cannot comprehend God,
right.
But we can apprehend, you know, things about God. And so the great doctor of the church, St. Augustine, what did he say? He said, the finite can never comprehend the infinite.
There you go. Well said.
You know, yeah, Terry, God is infinite and we're finite, and that's can never fully understand everything there is to know about God,
but we can
understand things that he has revealed about himself to us.
Awesome point. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, this is Divine Mercy Sunday coming up, and on Saturday, April 10th, that's the day before Mercy Sunday, Father Don Calloway, who's Exhibit A of Divine Mercy, will be giving two classic presentations on our YouTube channel and on our app at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll be there. I want to hear it. As you know, we were the ones who exposed his movie, or his conversion story, No Turning Back, and he's become really well known all over the world. He's the author of the book on St. Joseph. Paul Clay, I've got Mary Danielle in Studio A. I want to give her an opportunity to talk about another mystery in the sense of our mysteries of the Trinity. Before I do that, I want to remind everybody, Bishop Sheen has a very good talk, so does Dr. Hahn, on the Trinity. People can get that by going to CatholicRC.org. Mary Danielle, are you with us here?
I'm here.
Thank you, Mary. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Bible with the Barbers that's coming up in 4 minutes or 5 minutes. You're going to be talking about the actual historical aspect of the resurrection. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to share with us and give us a teaser for it.
Well, I want to share, is the resurrection a myth or is it a fact?
Mm-hmm.
And we bring this up because a lot of, even theologians today are saying, well, Jesus's rising from the dead was only a spiritual reality.
Yeah,
it wasn't
the Jesus movement.
So we want to go through the biblical evidence, and we also want to go through some extra biblical evidence that points to the reality that, because nowadays you even have people questioning, well, was Jesus really a historical person?
Yeah.
And by the way, he was a divine person who had two natures. Human nature and divine nature. He was not two persons. He was one person,
right.
The divine person,
exactly.
the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, who took to himself a human nature. So he had two natures,
right?
A divine nature and a human nature. And some people deny that he existed. And it's like, okay, well, obviously he didn't exist. The Christians are only saying that because they want to believe it.
Yeah.
So was there anyone other than Christians who testified to his existence? And I think that's critical for us to understand.
Oh, yeah.
And to realize just what does the resurrection mean for us? What did it mean for the early church? And so we hope to get into some of that and open up all that.
Are you going to also talk about what St. Paul said, that if Christ didn't resurrect from the dead, that our faith is useless?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
that. This is why it's such a critical topic. So I appreciate you coming on. Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening on AM and FM stations, you can get that show by going to our YouTube channel or go to get our free app. If you got a smartphone, all you got to do is type in virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Excuse me. And that way you get on our website and you can get the free app, or go to your app store and just type in Virgin Most Powerful. And then you get all of our shows, all the podcasts. And also, you're going to also get tomorrow's show with Father Don Calloway on Divine Mercy.
Awesome.
That'll also be available on our YouTube channel.
Awesome.
And its podcast. And also, I just want to remind people, Mary Danielle and Paul, we got a tremendous response by putting Archbishop Fulton Sheen's Good Friday talks on. I don't think it's a bad idea. We left it on for podcasts.
Good.
And I think it's good throughout the year,
yeah,
to think about the life and death of Jesus Christ, obviously.
Right.
And I can't think of a better person than Archbishop Sheen. So that might be like, hey, you want to have a day of recollection? Put 5 hours of Fulton Sheen on.
Like you said, Terry, he's the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, I hear you, bro. Mary Danielle, we'll have everybody come up right after the show, and I'll be with you in the Studio A. Paul Clay, the final thoughts about the divinity of Jesus Christ. I want to give you the final word, brother.
Well, Terry, listen. When you read through the entire Old Testament and you understand that, as Augustine said,
yes, yeah,
the Old Testament is the New Testament is hidden in the old, and the,
yeah,
old is revealed in the new.
Right.
When you look at themes that go through the Old Testament about how Yahweh is, the spouse of Israel. And
mm-hmm,
and it depicts God as the, the husband, and Israel as the wife. And then you understand that ultimately, God has, grafted the church, as it says in the New Testament, refers to the church as the new Israel of God.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Israel is somehow, discounted, but the fact that the church is, in a spiritual sense, the true believers,
yep,
in God right now, that God has grafted us into that one rich olive tree.
Right.
When you understand these things and understand that the church is the bride of Christ and that Jesus is,
amen,
is the bridegroom, it's just clear that God is, just involved in just the deepest intimate love with his church, And this is realized in Jesus Christ himself and no other. It's mind-boggling to me in a way.
Yeah.
When you just, like the Bible says, oh, the depth and the riches, you know, yeah. It's deep, Terry.
It's
deep.
Christ or chaos. That's what our culture needs. It needs Jesus Christ. That's the solution to the world's problems.
Christ or chaos.
I love
it.
Yep. And Paul Clay, thanks for sitting in again for Jesse. And Jesse will be back on Monday. Paul Clay, I ask this question every day to Jesse. What state should we be living in, brother?
A state of grace.
Amen. And if you're waiting for someone to ask you to go to confession, I ran into a guy yesterday, a vendor who wants to do some work at the church. He says, yeah, I'm Catholic. I said, well, when was the last time you been to confession? He looked at me like, what? This is when I was a kid. I said, well, tomorrow, Saturday, 3:30, come on down, brother. This is your invitation to get right with God. Well, he said, what? Okay. He was like blown away that I'd be so bold. You know what? We need boldness right now. You know why? Life is short. Eternity is forever. Hey, up next, I'm stepping into the other studio with my wife, Mary Danielle, about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul Clay, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Terry.
God love you and your family. And full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio.